One of the words of the year for 2020 and into 2021 was doom scrolling. Doom scrolling is that act of consistently scrolling through your phone or your TV channels or even your favorite soap. But all you do is you find bad news, angry people, stuff that really doesn't edify. You see, we live in a world, don't we, where the media, the newspapers, your social media delights in telling you how bad things are, how wrong the other people are, how we're all going to hell in a handcart. It's the Tories' fault. It's the Labour's fault. It's the Lib Dems' fault. It's Trump's fault. It's Biden's fault. It's always someone's fault, but there's bad news. And then this year, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but the word of the year, 2022, according to the Collins English Dictionary, is perma-crisis. Have you heard that? Perma-crisis. It's a word that describes that period of living through a period of war, inflation, political instability, bad news upon bad news. How do we cope? And it may not surprise you to know that this is not how we were designed to live. This wasn't God's great intention. So how do we protect ourselves from the bad stuff? How do we protect ourselves from the stuff that just makes us feel rubbish? Well, it might sound obvious, but what we do instead is we concentrate on the good stuff. The stuff that doesn't make us feel rubbish. In his letter to the Philippians in chapter 4, this is what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, because there'd been stuff going on there as well. There's all sorts of stuff going on. And again, themselves in a right tizzy. And Paul said, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. So, where do we start? Well, how about right here? How about right here? Now, some quick service then. How many of you own a Bible? That's a good start. How many of you have read it today? This week? This month? This year, more and more going up, but still some down. This is my daily Bible. And in it, I read every day a portion of the Old Testament, a portion of the New Testament, a chunk of Psalms, and a few Proverbs. And it means that by the end of the year, I will have read the whole of the Bible all the way through. I'll have read the book of Psalms twice and the book of Proverbs twice. Except I just lied to you. I said to you that every day I do it. Life sometimes gets in the way, doesn't it? Sometimes we're not feeling great. Sometimes we would rather not do it. But here's the thing. I've never got more than 4 days behind. And trying to catch up 4 days, believe me, is quite something. But this is the word of God. This is the good stuff. This is the stuff that helps protect us from the perma-crisis that we live in. You see, this book contains the stuff that is true and noble. It's right and pure. It's lovely and admirable. It's excellent and praiseworthy. It's worth thinking about. And as I've read it, and I have read it through many, many times over the years, I've come to realize just how much actually we use the Bible in our everyday speech, and you probably don't even realize it. I'll come back to that. But you see, I've got a fascination about where phrases come from. Why do we say that? Sometimes I'll hear a phrase and I think, why did they say that? Where does that come from? And I'll go digging in the internet and I'll Google it and I'll find it. Just want to give you some examples of very recent ones I've looked up. Feeling blue. Any idea why someone would say, oh, I'm feeling blue? A bit sad, a bit melancholic. Well, in sort of early English naval, and not just naval, but maritime history, if a captain or an officer of a ship died while they were at sea, the crew would fly blue flags to let the rest of the ships know that there'd been a death on board. They would even paint a blue band all the way along the side of the hull. And from that came into our English stuff, I'm feeling a bit blue. You see, stuff comes into being, doesn't it? And we don't really understand why we say what we're saying. Or what about a loose cannon? This one may be a little bit more obvious. But cannons were secured to the decks of ships in maritime warfare. They were roped down because when you got the recoil of a cannon, it came back. And if you didn't secure it, it would cause all sorts of mayhem. Well, a loose cannon was one that had broken its moorings. And these days we use it as a phrase of someone who's actually, they're just a loose cannon, they're causing all sorts of damage, we've got to somehow contain this. What about sleep tight? How many of you have ever said sleep tight and not thought a word about where it comes from? Sleep tight comes from two places, but simultaneously. Firstly, hammocks on ships. If hammocks are really loose and sloppy, it's very difficult to get a good night's sleep. And so what they would do, they would encourage people to make them tighter. To get a good night's sleep, you needed to have your ropes tight. Then there were also beds that before spring frames, they would put ropes in a crisscross pattern underneath a wooden frame. And again, if they weren't tight, you got a lousy night's sleep. So sleep tight is simply make sure your ropes are tight. There are all sorts of words and phrases. And one of the people who has been ascribed as having more influence on the English language than almost anyone else is William Shakespeare. Now we can go. So we're going to play a little game. Because you see, I've got this feeling that the Bible has more influence on our language, actually, than William Shakespeare did. Because God knows what he's doing. So I'm going to ask you the question. I'm going to put a phrase up and I want you to put your hand up. Shakespeare or Bible? Shakespeare, put your hands up. Bible. One. It is Shakespeare. It's from Othello. What about this one? Shakespeare, Bible. Correct, it's from Matthew, A Sign of the Times. What about this one? Shakespeare. Or Bible. It is in fact the Bible, Jeremiah 13. What about this one? Shakespeare. Or Bible. It's in fact Shakespeare, Henry V. What about this one? Shakespeare. Gotta be Shakespeare, he says. Oh, sorry. It's not, it's the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 20. A little birdie told me. So then we go to Love is Blind. Shakespeare? Bible. It's Shakespeare. It's The Merchant of Venice. What about this one? Shakespeare? Yeah, it's from The Tempest. Shakespeare? Or the Bible? It's from the Book of Job. What about this one? Shakespeare? Or Bible. Ah, you see, it's Shakespeare. It's The Merchant of Venice. Shylock. Okay, now I bet, I almost guarantee you've all said this one at some point. But who were you quoting? Shakespeare? Or the Bible? Yeah, Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. There's only a couple more of these I'm going to do. What about this one? Shakespeare? Or the Bible? Oh, some hands tend to... I want to say it's Bible, but it's not. It's Hamlet. It's Shakespeare. Okay. How the mighty have fallen, eh? Shakespeare? Bible? 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 25. Shakespeare? A bit of prayer pressure there. Or Bible? And a lot of people just not putting their hands up. They don't want to get caught out. It's like, I'm not going to be wrong. Believe it or not, like mother, like daughter comes from Ezekiel chapter 16. And I'll have done this one by Shakespeare. Bible. Can't be bothered. It is, in fact, Job. He said he survived by the skin of his teeth. Who knew, eh? Who knew that so many of the phrases that we use or in common parlance actually come from the Bible? But it doesn't stop there. The list is seemingly endless. I'm going to attempt to go through these. I found on my first search at least 95. And since reading my Bible, since I did this, I found at least another 6. It's unbelievable how much of your common language comes straight from the pages of the Bible and you don't even know it. So, a man after my own heart is just a drop in the bucket. And pride goes before a fall. We're going to fight the good fight. We'll eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Do you know a leopard can't change its spots? We'll go the extra mile. It's a labor of love. All to the powers that be. And out of the mouths of babes, we'll find a scapegoat. We'll see eye to eye with one another. But let's not put words in your mouth. He's got a thorn in his flesh. So be a man. Step up. I'm at my wit's end. Put your house in order. The writing is on the wall. Oh, he's bitten the dust, but he's the apple of my eye. There's nothing new under the sun, you see. So he sets your teeth on edge. We'll go to the four corners of the earth, and then you'll find a wolf in sheep's clothing, because there's no rest for the wicked. It's a sign of the times. Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. There's a twinkling in the eye, the 11th hour, but then you'll find a fly in the ointment. Oh, you of little faith. A little birdie told me that the truth will set you free, but I'm nothing but skin and bones, and it is better to give than receive. So rise and shine and let there be light. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Oh, that's forbidden fruit. Like mother, like daughter. It's a blind leading the blind, and now I'm brokenhearted, and I got through that by the skin of my teeth. All of those were from the Bible. So why am I telling you this? Why am I giving you, it might be great trivia, but what is the point? Well, I want you to feel more confident about your faith. You know, when we talk about talking to people about Jesus, people most of us, I don't want to know, you know, I just find it so tough. It's not me. Don't ask me to do that. But if you know your Bible, and if you know some of these sayings, it really is very helpful. As I said earlier, I'm fascinated about where phrases come from. I love to look them up, see what the origins are. And I was at Tiddlywinks a few weeks ago, and that's where the idea for this talk came from. Actually, it's probably more than a few weeks. But we were talking, and it had been a particular, one of those glorious mornings where the sky had been red, and we'd woken up, and you thought, and this mum said to me, God, look at the weather, she said. You know what they say? Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning. And I was able to say to her, well, do you know where that phrase comes from? I went, no idea. I said, it's from the Bible. It's one of the things that was talked about in the New Testament. No. Are there any more? Hold my beer. When we know our Bibles, it's the easiest thing in the world to say, really interesting you use that phrase. Do you know where it comes from? Well, I saw a tweet a while back. Those of you who know me know that I'm on Twitter. It's part of where I do my doom scrolling. And I saw a tweet, and it simply said, "Who's going to tell them?" And this is the picture. This is a picture which is commercially available from an inspirational quotes website. You buy this as a poster to put up in your office. It's the sort of thing that, you know, a lot of businesses might do. But this was the poster. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." By Anonymous. No words, are there? But you see, the world is using these phrases. The world is using even Bible phrases, and they don't even know it. This particular quote was quoted quite extensively in the recent BBC drama called The Capture. I don't know if you watched The Capture. Absolutely fascinating and scary at the same time, because it's all about how governments can manipulate information to get what they want. But this phrase was used by one of the heroes. But of course, no reference to where it came from. You see, the fact is, if you read your Bible, there are loads and loads and loads of sayings that are just used every day and not thought about. I want to challenge you. Find some for yourself. Read through. Even since I prepared this and finished the talk, I was reading my Bible, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and I was reading down, and it said, "And there he was, stark naked." And I thought, I didn't know that was in the Bible. But it was. 2 Timothy and 3:16 says this. It says, "All scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right." The Message version of the Bible puts it another way. It says, "Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful, one way or another. It shows us the truth. It exposes our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. And through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the task that God has for us." You see, this is why I believe it's really important that we should know our Bibles and what they say, because, and this is according to some very recent research done. You might be familiar with the Talk Jesus research that was done a few years ago. Well, it's been redone. And did you know that 24%, so nearly a quarter, of all people who come to faith do it because they've read something in the Bible that has drawn them closer to Jesus. 24%. When people are given Bibles, they inevitably they'll read something. The Bible is the Word of God. So just imagine if we gave our friends Bibles. If we encouraged them to read them, helped them, shown them just a few little bits that might be of interest to them, you could be changing someone's eternity right there and then. You see, we need to be people who read and get to know our Bibles. It's one of the ways that God speaks to us. And I want to strongly encourage you, if you don't currently read your Bible every day, or as close to every day as you can get, would you start by reading a little bit? You could start in the Psalms. Just 5 verses. Slowly, slowly, you can build it up. Maybe you say, well, I do UCB notes, or I do Every Day with Jesus or something. That I'm not going to say anything against that, but I'm going to say, if you do that, would you also look up the verses that are top in the fine print? So you're not just reading the nice story bit, but you actually read the Bible bit that goes with it. Because God's Word will speak to you. And I'd encourage you, I know a lot of people these days say, well, I've got my Bible on my phone. For me, Yes, I do that sometimes. But for me, the fact that I can go, I want to go back and find a bit. And I know it was at the top of the left-hand page and it was sort of in a chapter there. And I can scroll through, I can find it. When you've got a phone or a tablet and you're doing that, it's actually more difficult to do that. Now, I'm not going to say you shouldn't do your Bible on your phone. But what I'm saying is, make sure you've got a paper Bible too. And if you haven't and you want one, see me and I will make sure you have one. And some people say, well, I'm really not great with all that reading. It's just too many words. Well, let me give you a spin on this. How are you with Lego? This is the Lego Bible. It's all the Bible. This is the Old Testament one, but done in picture form. You see, God's word is not contained to a particular format of Bible. Yes, it's a paraphrase, but God's word is still God's word. Get God's word into you somehow. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says this. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you want to be able to see where you're going, read the word of God. Here's my challenge. Don't live in a permacrisis. Don't choose doom scrolling over God-breathed, life-giving word. Look out for those everyday phrases. As you read it, look out for something. Let me know when you find them. I'd love to think that we could compile a list that goes well over 100. And next time you hear someone use one of these phrases, why not ask them if they know where it comes from? You might just be surprised at the conversation you have. You're all using God's word without even realizing it, I bet. And what I want you to encourage you is find some more of those phrases and allow God's word to speak to you and through you to others. It's simple, really.